A little while later, as I was chatting with the former surgeon, who told me he and Bobo had been classmates in 8th grade, Soraya pulled on my sleeve. "Amir, look." She was pointing to the sky. A half dozen kites were flying high, speckles of bright yellow, red, and green against the gray sky. "Check it out," Soraya said. And this time, she was pointing to a guy selling kites from a stand nearby. "Here, hold this," I said. I gave my cup of tea to Soraya. I excused myself and walked over to the kite stand, my shoes squishing on the wet grass. I pointed to a yellow seporcha. "Solinau Mubarak," the kite seller said, taking the 20 and handing me the kite and a wooden spool of glass tar. I thanked him and wished him a happy new year too. I tested the string the way Hassan and I used to, by holding it between my thumb and forefinger and pulling it. It reddened with blood, and the kite seller smiled. I smiled back. I took the kite to where Sohrab was standing, still leaning against the garbage pail, arms crossed on his chest. He was looking up at the sky. "Do you like the Seporcha?" I said, holding up the kite by the ends of the crossbars. His eyes shifted from the sky to me, to the kite, then back. A few rivulets of rain trickled from his hair, down his face. "I read once that in Malaysia, they use kites to catch fish," I said. "I'll bet you didn't know that. They tie a fishing line to it and fly it beyond the shallow waters so it doesn't cast a shadow and scare the fish. And in ancient China, generals used to fly kites over battlefields to send messages to their men. It's true. I'm not slipping you a trick." I showed him my bloody thumb. Nothing wrong with the tar either. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Soraya watching us from the tent, hands tensely dug in her armpits. Unlike me, she had gradually abandoned her attempts at engaging him. The unanswered questions, the blank stares, the silence. It was all too painful. She had shifted to holding pattern, waiting for a green light from Sohrab. Waiting. I wet my index finger and held it up. "I remember the way your father checked the wind was to kick up dust with his sandal and see which way the wind blew it. He knew a lot of little tricks like that," I said. I lowered my finger. "West, I think." Sohrab wiped the raindrop from his earlobe and shifted on his feet. Said nothing. I thought of Soraya asking me a few months ago what his voice sounded like. I had told her I didn't remember anymore. "Did I ever tell you your father was the best kite runner in Wazir Akbar Khan? Maybe all of Kabul?" I said, knotting the loose end of the spool tar to the string loop tied to the center spar. How jealous he made the neighborhood kids. He'd run kites and never look up at the sky, and people used to say he was chasing the kite's shadow. But they didn't know him like I did. Your father wasn't chasing any shadows. He just knew. Another half dozen kites had taken flight. People had started to gather in clumps, teacups in hand, eyes glued to the sky. "Do you want to help me fly this?" I said. Sohrab's gaze bounced from the kite to me, back to the sky. "Okay," I shrugged. "Looks like I'll have to fly Tanhoi, solo." I balanced the spool in my left hand and fed about 3 feet off string. The yellow kite dangled at the end of it, just above the wet grass. "Last chance," I said.